This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and so glad James Corden can now just be in every single musical, still for no fucking reason at all.
I'm Brandi Posey, and okay, so you guys saw the gif of the crab with the knife that he's like stabbing? That's like when I see a Gen Z with thin ass eyebrows. I'm that crab. Get away from me.
I kind of like him. Okay.
I'm Tess Barker, and actually, women make negative 60 cents on the dollar once you adjust for how much it costs to look marginally hot.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey, everyone. Showtime.
Dun 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 dun.
We all did multiple backflips right there. And excuse me. We all did multiple backflips.
We're indeed ready for
this. You guys watch Jonathan Van Ness's backflips because it's beautiful.
Aw, that's fun for him.
I've seen quite a bit of his roller skating. Ice skating.
Ice skating.
He's always posting his like gymnastic wins, and it's fucking awesome. Like, it's just so cool to see all the work he's put in.
He's turned into backflips. He's just so cute. What a whimsical
person.
He's
just the cutest person in the world.
Yeah.
I love you. I've heard your hair care products are good. I haven't tried them yet, but congrats on your brand. Do we have anything to say, or should we just
about
do
our Jonathan Van Ness? You're my favorite
podcast.
Podcast.
Oh, no, sorry.
I think what? Patreon.com/ladytolady. We got all sorts of tiers and treats.
Hey, tiers and treats for you. Mm-hmm. We've got bonus episodes over there. Those are an hour long. They come out once a month. We've got sweet, hot, extra things that come out every week.
Yeah, we have beef of the week that come out every Friday.
Every week. We got a lot of stuff over there. There's so much of us.
We got commercial-free episodes. We have a Discord that is lady-exclusive us.
We have a Discord where I'm talking about fighting with the tree in my yard. Very excited.
Yeah. Absolutely. You want to hear our real opinions about the shrubbery in our neighborhoods.
Yeah. That's where we get real. We stop being polite and we start getting real.
But yeah, we got stuff at $2, $5, $10, and $20. Come on out over to the Patreon if you feel like supporting us, because it does help.
It does. We see it and we appreciate it. Let's get to our guest. This was such a fun convo. She's super funny. Super funny comedian. If you have a chance to see her in your town, go check her out. She is doing Fringe Fest shows coming up soon, the next few months, in Los Angeles and New York and the Edinburgh Fringe Fest, if you happen to be over there. So please hang out with us as we hang out with Gina Bloom. Ladies, yay! So excited to hang out with our guest today. Hi, Gina. How are you?
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the hang. I was saying an exclusive night hang. We usually do it early in the day.
Night hang. Right. We've got our wine. We've got our caffeine drinks. We got our chai teas.
Our transition into nighttime liquids.
Yes, got our nighttime liquids for our nighttime hang. Beautiful.
I'm a big proponent of a nighttime liquid.
I feel like it's so weird lately because it gets dark so late, and I'm eating dinner, and I feel like I just feel so weird because I'm just like, it's fully sunlight out. And I'm 75 years old because it's so bright out still.
It is weird. And I'm never satisfied because during, I guess daylight savings is ending forever soon. But like during all of that, I feel like I'm going insane. I feel like I live in like Alaska. Like I'm never quite happy with when the sun is transitioning. It's never quite right for
we're
me.
We're all comics, so we're never quite happy.
There's that
never
too.
Quite happy. Yes.
No. I feel like always. I use the sunset is like that's my like internal clock time to like stop working and like start unwinding. Mm-hmm. So now that it's getting darker later, I'm like working later, and then I'm like, oh great, I have a half hour to watch TV and be bed in like a decent hour.
Yeah, that is like the summer betrayal is that later, like a couple extra work hours.
That's right.
Where it's like, It's like, okay, at least it's beautiful outside, but whatever.
I was scrolling. This is just a random thought, but obviously, like, you know, the world is a piece of shit. And there was a bright moment in it that came from, like, things. But, you know, when, like, things come from things that aren't great, but you're like, well, I'm glad this happened.
Yeah.
It was just, so I guess there's someone who trains mice to run into like earthquakes or buildings that have fallen to find people.
And so
they have like, they have medicine and they also have little mics attached to them so someone can talk to the people.
Little mouse mics?
Can you imagine having a building crash down on you and then a mouse is like, hi, how are you? And I'm like, oh no, I'm dead.
Yeah, sure a sign you've not made it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have died and gone to mouse world.
That makes me wish that we had a pizza rat mic'd.
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah. Pizza rat should have had a mic.
He should have.
Yeah. Oh yeah, get that cheese on down the steps. Oh, mamma mia!
I love how pizza rat's doing.
I know. I was also thinking, like, I think I don't know when pizza rat happened because I have no concept of time. But I feel like that's how I know we're ants because this is like I feel like every couple years we bring up pizza rat.
We're ants. Gina, are you an ant? We have nieces and nephews, so we get into
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Very yes. I'm an ant several times over. Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm an ant, and in fact, my eldest niece, I think, had a kid, so that makes me a great aunt.
Whoa. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Ooh. Congratulations.
Great aunt. We bow.
That's
a great aunt.
Any good aunt.
For us lower level aunts.
Well, that, as a great aunt, I guess it just pays to be Southern where we have kids very young. So you can be a great aunt.
That's really
and
the tip.
That's the tip. Just be Southern. And you get to be a great aunt sooner. Then you get to be a double aunt.
I can feel it. It's definitely like I'm anting harder than ever, and you can't stop it. That's really the thing.
No.
You really can't.
No, you certainly can't. No. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I ordered last night a sleeve for my Kindle that has bee print fabric.
That has, wait, what?
Bee, like the insect?
Oh.
Bee print. Speaking of bees, the pod audience can't see it, but I have my own initials on my mugs.
Yes.
Oh, very ant move. Love it.
From Anthropology, no less. So, modern, fancy ant.
You're giving us advanced ant.
Yes.
This is great.
My own monogram teacups. So there you go.
They really should call it today. Anthropology.
There you go.
It is. Yeah. All those things that, like, you know, because my parents, I think my mom has like a teacup collection and like salt and pepper collection. And I'm like, why do we have all this? It's cute, but like, I don't need all that stuff, you know.
At least it's not precious moments. It could be worse.
Oh, there you go. Yard rose, which are basically the same thing.
Yard rose.
I've never heard that.
They're figurines that like my grandma loves to give to the family.
Well, that's how they happen, first of all, is grandma's. They force a collection onto you.
I will say that right around the time I became a great aunt, I did buy a full British tea service.
Oh,
so
you went somewhere and did it, or what?
No. It's like I had it. They sell it on like Bed Bath & Beyond, imported from England, and I just, you know, I was like, I have to have a tea service now. Mm. I don't know. It felt right. It was like it was a pandemic we were coming out.
Yeah,
and I wanted to have tea parties. I have yet to have one.
Oh yes,
that's
but I have the option to.
Does a tea service include a cart? In my head, there's like wheels involved in a service.
Yeah, probably. Not mine, though. Like, I guess it's not a full service. I guess there's probably some British people that are like thinking I'm, you know, sacrilegious here. But it's like, but it's got, you know, the kettle, it's got the saucer, the cups, the other cup, it's got the little three-tiered cake thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the three-tiered cake thing.
Gina, I'll do tea with you. Let's do an
Let's do an afternoon tea. Let's break it in.
Little sandwiches.
And some little cookies, maybe a little fruit cookie.
Yeah. And I have the little plates to put the sandwiches and cookies on.
That's fun.
It's magic.
That's beautiful. That's
fun.
I did a British tea with my friends like over Zoom during, you know, lockdown, and that was
nice.
I like it. I have my uncle gave me, I think it was my great grandmother's grapefruit spoon, which I have to tell you, I love having a piece of silverware that is only for one specific and very random food. Mm-hmm. And like when I have a grapefruit, I'm fucking stoked.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. For grapefruits.
Yeah. Yeah, they're perfect for their purpose.
I would never use it on an orange.
No.
But it takes I'm guessing it takes the grapefruit to the next level. I've never actually used a grapefruit spoon.
It has ridged edges, so you can cut out the little sections.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So you cut it in half and then you cut them out.
It's basically an elegant spork.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And it's an heirloom. It's from your grandma.
Exactly.
We passed down the grapefruit utensil.
I was gonna say my grandma. So I'm really lucky, like most of my family's not on social media, so I don't have to like deal with that. But
that's
my
good.
Grandma is on Instagram a little bit. In that she's been DMing me constantly.
Beautiful.
Damn,
beautiful.
Grandma in the DMs.
She's
I love it.
Grandma's blowing you up.
She's being very sweet and keeps saying I'm beautiful and then asking when I'm going to visit. It's very grandma.
Oh,
and I'm like,
at least
very
so
grandma.
At least it's not on Maine. I feel like if it was in the comments, that would be kicked up a notch. Just like, Barbara, when are you coming?
It's very cute. And she does have collections. Like she literally has two full... what are they called? Knights of like armor. Like giant.
Whoa.
Really?
Whoa. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Some shit that I'm like, whoa. Like she's got a lot of interesting stuff in her place. So
that's fun. I love that.
Yeah. It was always really fun going over there as a kid because you're like, it was like being in a museum or something.
Yeah. That's amazing. And did you guys see the thing that was like trending today about how like Swedish people, if you're playing over a Swedish person's house as a child, they will not feed you?
Why?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah,
I did not see this.
There was a big trending topic about Swedish dinner manners and
Swedish,
how they'll be like, go home, we're not feeding you.
Yeah, we're not feeding you, or you stay upstairs in the child's room while the child comes down and eats.
Seriously?
And then they will return. Yeah, yeah.
I would have loved that.
Oh, yeah.
As a vegetarian, I'm sure, actually.
Yes.
Not be forced into eating dinner.
No, didn't we all hate having dinner at someone else's house?
Yeah.
It is very awkward. It's pretty awkward.
And I
have it offered is very like to me. I don't know. It feels very like take care of this child that's here.
Yeah,
I think offered food.
Yeah, I think in theory it sounds kind of cool because like we're so used to, you know, Americans being like sort of superficially accommodating and it just makes things awkward.
Right.
But I don't know if I would like that. I think I'm too accustomed to the superficial awkward.
We're so used to it.
Yeah. I mean, as an adult, I love to offer snacks to my guests for sure.
Yeah.
But like, kids don't like olives and nice nuts.
Exactly. Kids don't care about a cheese plate for the most part.
No, they don't. I have teenage brothers, and I made a beautiful cheese plate on Thanksgiving, and I explained to them which things went with honey and which went with apple. Zero fucks given. I dropped over triple figures on this cheese board, and I was the only person eating it.
Pearls before swine. I agree. Yes. Absolutely.
Over triple figures. Actually, that's very hard to not do. It's super expensive to make a cheese board.
It is.
With good cheese, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very pricey.
It adds up real fast. And you're like, God, I'm really going through a lot just to make this board of meats and cheeses.
I feel like the cheesemonger is the unsung target. You go in for one thing and you're leaving $100 poor every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
They're the real problem. Cheesemongers.
Of all the mongers. They're the worst. They're the worst mongers.
Yeah. What, you got your fishmonger? That's the only other monger I can think of, right?
Same, yeah.
Yeah, same.
I did an audition for a fishmonger and
an Oliver?
I had to pretend I caught a big fish on camera. It was very awkward.
Did you get a callback?
I did, but I didn't book it.
You didn't mong.
I didn't get to mong professionally.
Oh, apparently a gossip monger is a British way of saying you're a gossiper. So that's fun.
This is
kind of a deep cut, and it's a little bit shamey, but if I remember correctly, those Jack Chick tracks, you know, the little like weird.
Oh, Chick tracks, yeah.
Yeah, the little weird like religious things. I believe there's one where the guy goes to hell and he's sentenced to hell because he's a whoremonger.
Chick tracks.
Yeah, what's a chick track? Oh, it's like Southern Baptist. It's these little
paper like magazine like comics. Pamphlets. Yeah, little comics.
Like comic,
yeah.
Book, comic strips, but then when you look at them, they're like all like Jesus parables and stuff. Yes. They're telling you you're going to hell if you don't repent.
And it's like super like ultra like conservative religious stuff. And it's always Satan. Satan's always behind everything.
Yes, he's always there. When I got my airbrush hoodie in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee last year, there were Chick tracks in the bag with it. So,
oh, nice.
Because he knew I was from California.
There you go.
A little bargain. With God.
Yeah, this comic book will change you.
This Jesus-themed comic book will make your life better.
That feels like a companion piece to candy cigarettes. It's just like mean. It's like unfairly targeting children, you know?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. It's kind of that like same like culture that you don't think still exists, but it actually does.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it feels like we've moved on, but we haven't
candy
really.
Cigarette truthers out there for sure.
Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I used to have a pack of them in college. Whenever my friends would smoke, I'd pull them out and just gnaw on them next to them.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, my dad caught me eating one, and then you know. I'd eat the whole
pack. You'd eat
the whole box? That sounds fun.
Yeah. Oh.
My jaw really hurt.
Wait, don't they taste like the dip part of the Lick and Dip?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like chalky. Yeah. They're like that chalky gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not good. It's just chalky sugar. That's all it is.
Yeah, there's some of those like nostalgic candies. I'm just like, how does it like Necco wafers or?
Oh, I like Necco wafers. Oh, I think Necco wafers are fucking good, especially the chocolate ones and the grape ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
I don't know. There's some of those vintage candies I can't. I remember when I worked at the sometimes I'll have flashbacks to working at the chocolate bar. What is it called? The counter? I worked at the chocolate counter in college at the like college bookstore. And there were just like ladies who had very specific orders, you know, who come in and be like, I want 10 Jordan almonds. And you're just like, what is going on? So I feel like, there were a lot of aunts teaching me the way.
Teaching you the ways of chocolate. No, but on the subject of like that stuff, I think, and this is not news. Like children have terrible taste.
Yeah.
In food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I don't know what I'm gonna do with this, but I keep going back to Cece's Pizza. Did you guys ever go to these?
Yes.
I don't think I ever went to see. It's like a $5 pizza.
It's like a $5 pizza buffet. All you can eat pizza. Okay. And it's like the pizzas are out like all day.
Yeah.
It's literally just been sitting there for like 5 hours.
It's not the Ritz. Yeah.
It's not the Ritz, and it's just garbage food. But like when you're a kid, it's like, oh my God, we're gonna have a birthday party at Cece's.
The deal of it all.
The deal.
The pizza that we would consume as children. Oh, just the nastiest.
It's like, just so bad.
So bad. Yeah, I haven't been to a Shakey's in forever. I'm kind of like want to go hit up a Shakey's for like beer and.
I had a Shakey's. I was in a lesbian relationship. This is difficult because I'm a trans woman and my ex transitioned to a male, so I can't call him my ex-girlfriend anymore, but this is the world we live in. But nonetheless, we had Shakey's because he had never had it, and he was not impressed, and we had a fight over it because he wanted Pizza Hut, and I was like, this is no better.
I didn't say Pizza Hut after that. Come on.
I know. He was super basic, but he was offended by Shakey's.
Okay, I feel like Shakey's is as advertised. Like, that's on you if you walk in there expecting some, like, oven-roasted shit.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've never had Shakey's, but I feel like I've had Shakey's.
You have.
You have.
Yeah.
You have
definitely
had it.
I know what's
happening
there.
Pizza at the cafeteria ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which isn't like it is its own thing, and that's why I'm okay with it. Like I mean, it's been a while since I've had Shakey's, and I am probably a little bit too snobby for Little Caesars and Pizza Hut, but.
Wow.
But
I will stand behind Little Caesars.
There's certain shitty pizzas like the Stouffer's frozen French bread one.
Oh, yeah.
That shit's good.
Yeah.
I would put that in a million years.
Well, like frozen's a whole different like level of acceptability.
Yeah,
that's
Right.
When it's, because this is like, yeah, I'm at home.
I'm at home. I'm in sweatpants with a DiGiorno. It's going to be good no matter what happens.
Exactly. You're already living your dream.
Yeah,
so
your expectations
are
so low at that point. Like it can be burned. Yeah. It does not matter.
I didn't have to talk to a stranger.
It's exactly.
Already better.
The pizza tracker though, what a game changer.
Love
like that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably not great for the people working.
No.
But
no,
consumers.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But like maybe it was great, like Domino's. I think it was good for us in the instant and bad for us long term. Because we don't need a tracker on everything. We don't.
No.
Right.
No,
pizza tracker,
don't.
Fossil fuels, the whole thing. Yeah. Good, good in the short term.
People who have jobs where they have to like log every 15 minutes of work or their computers watch how much they're working and like notice
that
they are idle too long.
Yeah.
That shit's like fascist as fuck.
It's
awful.
So insane.
I hate it.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
No wonder
I worked at
to go back to an office.
Yeah.
I worked at a job like that for like 6 months and then we all just mass quit one day.
Good.
Five or six of us were just like, we're tired of this shit. Because it was barely above minimum wage.
Yeah.
And they were literally had a little like spy software on our computers and we couldn't surf the internet. So it was like we were stuck doing like this rote like data processing crap. I was like,
I'm sorry, but if you're doing that, like that kind of work, especially, you need breaks. Like
you need breaks.
Not a machine.
Yeah,
we need to fucking like have a stoppage of 15 minutes to look at dumb shit on Instagram.
Absolutely.
And that's like the only benefit of a kind of low paying job is the ability to fuck around.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
I hate that. Did you guys do anything fun to walk out?
Yeah, what was the vibe? Like, how did everyone decide to leave?
Yeah.
We were talking about it for a little bit, and we heard that a rival company was hiring, so we actually walked out to go apply at the rival company.
Yeah.
Yeah, that rules.
Which was also pretty bad. It was bad in a different way. It was like they were like basically the meth for, storefront call center. Like, they didn't give a shit at all, but then they also didn't pay you on time.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just couldn't win, but. Yeah, that was a good day, though.
Yeah. We got to check the victories where we can find them.
Exactly. We all walked out, applied for other work.
That's beautiful. Great.
Did you actually were you actually at work and you walked out, or did you just not show up one day?
Oh, no. We were like at – because there was like this fascist time card that if you were a minute late or 2 minutes late, they would dock you like an hour.
Oh, my God.
So we all
– No, that's not okay.
No, it was horrible. This place is horrible. And we all just sort of like – we were all talking about it, and then, like, a bunch of us were, waiting, because we had, like, you couldn't clock in early either.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You had to be right on time, so you gotta congregate around the little spiky thing.
Ugh.
And then we were like, let's just get the fuck out of here. I hear ICT is hiring. ICT was the other call center group. And we're like, yeah, let's get out of here. And then we all kind of like high-fived or whatever. Like it was a Sunny Delight commercial. And then we just went.
Was there like a manager just like, no, where are you going?
That would have been fun. The manager was in like this, the call center manager, he was in like this office literally. Like
looking down upon
you. Yeah, he was literally like in like this one tiny little office like that looked over the call center. Mm-hmm. And we could see him up in the tower. It was, it was very strange.
Oh
yeah.
My God. The goal is to be that guy, I guess.
And like, I'm guessing, cause it's been a while. I'm guessing he was like, probably 31 at the time. He looked old to me back then, but like he was a young guy and like, this was like his first real job. He thought it was hot. He thought he was hot shit.
Isn't it wild get to the age where when you were young, you thought that was ancient and you're like, I feel like I'm still 15.
Right. I'm no longer that guy.
Yeah.
No, and like, yeah. I'm like, he's like, that guy's a fascist. He's like 32. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like remember my dad's 40th birthday party, and I've got one coming up in a couple of years. And I was like, weird. I'm like my dad's age.
Yeah.
My parents had me young, so it's always trippy for me if I think like, oh, when my mom was this age, I was like already done with high school. Like, oh dear. I mean, but good for her, I guess, getting it over with.
I think that's pretty common because like a lot of our generation and like our parents' generation and prior to that, they had kids like super early. My mom was 17 when she had had the first kid in our family. And like that was kind of normal. 18.
Yeah. That wouldn't be like a scandal. It was just like, good, you're right on track. Great.
Yeah, that's right. you're spitting them out early. You can have four more. No problem.
Yeah. You know, but then you're like done and you're like the same age as like, I mean, I'm like, you know, a very tall 15-year-old. Yeah.
I mean, it's been weird. You know, I've lived in this place for 14 years. So I've literally seen the kids next door to me become full grown like teenagers. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like the kid, this boy across the street, I don't really see them that much, that family. But when I used to have the comedy show in the house here, but basically our neighbors wrote like a secret message to our landlord saying we're running a comedy club out of our house. And, and it was because they were mad that their kid, the son, could hear the comic saying like shitty words, which I didn't know and they should have told me. And it's just so funny to see that kid. I saw him as like a teenager and I was just like, oh, like, what did we do to you?
You're going to be complaining about him soon.
I know. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like as soon as his parents are out of town, they have a party.
Cats in the cradle and the silver spoon.
That's right. The cycle continues. Exactly.
All right. We have some thinking to do. We'll be back in a second, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I am Gina.
Yay. And we're going to play a game to get to know you a little bit better. It's called That's So Random.
Yay. Let's do it.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, my God. I can't. It's just like, so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Not raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My God.
Random. Okay, so I guess you probably know the name of the thing. So these are, random questions, no wrong answers.
Beautiful. All right, hit me with them.
What is a telltale sign that you are upset?
Telltale sign that I am upset is I get quiet. Mm-hmm. This I inherited from, like, my older brother who basically raised me. Mm-hmm. And because our parents were so loud and, like, they were really easy to read, like, my mom, my dad, both, they were just like, blah, 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 every time something even microscopically went wrong. So my brother got mad. He would just make this face like he would just like jut his lower jaw out and be like that. And he, of course the audience can't see that, but like you just jut your lower jaw out and you like sort of look down your nose and like then you just like walk really fast around the house without saying anything. And that's what I learned. So if I become quiet, I am pissed. Yeah.
Do you do one of those like, what's wrong? Nothing.
Yeah, kind of a little bit of that, but it's like not even that responsive. It's just more like, I put my hand up and like, just, you know, wave you off and like, it's nonverbal communication, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that happens.
That's always tough for me because I'm a sparrer. So like my boyfriend does that too. He'll shut down and I'm like, well, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, let's do this, motherfucker. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is like the boxer who likes to really throw the punches and the one who's really good that can just kind of like not use that much energy and just quietly.
Yeah, that's right. The old rope-a-dope. Yeah, that's me. I'm here to rope-a-dope.
Okay, what would your dream house look like?
Oh, my goodness. All right. I think about this a lot. My dream house... is going to be like a slightly dilapidated farmhouse in on an island nation. Oh. All right, it's got to be an island nation, and I need to have an island within the island, basically. But I also don't want to be so cut off from society that I can't just go, you know, because this is my dream house. I'm quite wealthy, so I can still go right. and shop and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it has to be, there has to be like a boat landing where I can just go to the mainland and from there just disembark into any like major city around the world in like a day or so. But like it's an island nation. I'm thinking maybe Malta.
So not sovereign citizen. You're part of a nation.
I'm part of a nation.
Not a nation
right.
of one. Okay.
I'm not a nation of one. I am okay. part of a nation.
Just checking.
So it's a little bit ramshackle. And maybe it has a vineyard. Maybe it doesn't.
Island in the kitchen? Yes or no?
Island in the kitchen.
How many islands are involved?
Island within the kitchen. Islands in the kitchen are tricky. You have to have a pretty substantial kitchen to pull an island off. Otherwise, yeah. it just feels like you're just getting in the way of yourself and yeah. you're not using your counter space correctly.
Feels more like a landmass than an island. At that
exactly.
Point.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a thing you have to navigate around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have one of those islands, because I looked at an apartment in downtown that had like its oven sink combination on an island. That was very cool because it was substantial mm-hmm. and it actually had function.
Yeah.
Just have like a weird island for like your plates and stuff. No, I don't like that.
Because yeah, it feels like no island.
Right.
No yes. island on the island nation. Okay.
Exactly.
I was looking at Zillow yesterday because I wanted to be depressed and
that'll do it.
That'll do it. Yeah.
And I showed Tess this, but there was a house, you know, it's so crazy expensive around here. So like anytime something has a price that's like less than $900,000, you're like, what's that? And so I saw one that was like $600,000 or something. And I was like, what is this? And it looked cute. And I was like, what's the deal with this? And one bedroom, one bath, you know, right? So mm-hmm. I go into like the little view thing and like really very cute, like Spanish mm-hmm. style and, you know, the really cute front area and the kitchen mm-hmm. was actually nice and like a good patio. And then there's the bed actually in the living room. And I was like,
in the living room. What's the catch? There's the catch.
Yeah. I was like, this is not a one bed. This
the
is
bed
not a one
in
bedroom.
The living room. That is
there's
a cabin.
No bedrooms here.
It's called a studio.
Yeah. And it was just like such a weird, because it was just so weak. You almost didn't see the bed at first. It was like so hidden in the corner.
I thought you were
fully expecting another room on top
of
this room.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I thought you were going to talk about the hoarder house that you tweeted about.
Oh, yes.
That was also like a $600,000.
Yeah. So, no. This one, the hoarder house is $2.5 million.
Oh.
Yeah.
And because if you look
I looked
at the graph.
You got the money to hoard, I guess.
Yeah. It's gone up $1 million the last few years for no reason other than the fucking housing market. And I walk by it all the time and I'm like curious about what's going on and I don't know what's going on. They're always like moving shit in and out and you know, but yeah, there's no pictures of the inside, but it's $2.5 million. It's so ridiculous.
There's a house in Eagle Rock that I suspect is a hoard. And I see it on walks mm-hmm. sometimes because it's like old and like the outside of it has not been upkept at all. And I'm like, bet you there's a real hoard inside of that place.
There's definitely quite a few around here.
Yeah.
No, but this is how abusive this market is. Like, it's not uncommon because I also like mm-hmm. to scan Zillow. I can't believe the amount of times that they're like, no looking inside until you buy it. And it's like,
that's
what?
Insane. What? That's insane. Like, who would do that? Like, that is psychotic. Just buy that. Don't look inside. No.
Yeah, it's not lucky like, that
I'm
we're
not
selling
doing
it to you.
A mystery flavor buying a house. Like, what are
right,
we doing?
For $2 million. Yeah. Yeah. So at least get to, like, see the bathroom.
Judge the husk. Judge the husk and buy it from right. there.
This isn't the fucking gift shop at Six Flags. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, seriously. Oh, man. Yeah,
okay.
It's depressing. Who knows the most secrets about you?
Mm. Ooh. Who knows them? Oh, Jesus. I think everybody knows my secrets at this point. Because, like, after I transitioned, I started doing comedy, I got on this really, like, kick about just oversharing every possible detail about my life. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to say the only person that knows more secrets than literally everybody who listens to me on the internet is, like, my little brother. Because he knows all of that, plus... Aww. all of the stuff that we grew up around.
Right.
That I just haven't gotten around to saying. So, like, I'm pretty sure he's the only one that knows the secrets that I just don't care to share because they don't seem all that, like, juicy to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, some of them you're like, no one needs to hear this.
Yeah, no one needs to, right. No one needs to hear the miserable details of our growing up. These are secrets, but like they're not anything that, you know, anyone would really care to hear. But no, I think the issue is like people who don't know my secrets, like guys I date. Like everyone gets to hear everything that I think, except if I'm dating you and you're a guy. If I'm dating a woman, different story. We share everything. But if I'm dating a guy, I don't tell him dick. So
you mean like as like a protective thing or just because you don't want to do it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think because men are kind of incurious.
Yeah, they're not really asking for this that often.
So I don't volunteer it, but as you can see, when you ask me a question, I supply a 20-minute answer. So
that's why you're on the podcast. That's what you're here.
But that's like I don't just offer it. They have to ask me to show some curiosity, and men generally don't have that.
Right.
Yeah, unless like one of your secrets is like a football game.
A football game or a threesome. Like that's the only thing they want to know about.
They want to know about that secret for sure.
That's it.
It's funny, I'm watching like old Survivor episodes, and this is like back in, I don't know, 2000 or something. So it's just wild how misogynistic everything is. Like, it's just like, and no one's even talking about it because how TV was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have like, most of the women on the show are like models, and then just half of the thing is like zooming in on like their bodies. Just talking about it. And I'm like, it's just like, it's so weird to watch because they're just so open about it.
And this was like
not that long ago.
Right.
It's like early aughts, right?
Yeah.
It's like 2000.
This is stuff that we already knew. We already watched once before. We're not watching Double Indemnity from like the 40s.
It's totally. I don't know. It's like a fascinating time capsule almost. I don't know what I was thinking.
It's weird. Like, the early 2000s are getting a lot of like reevaluation
a
for
lot
like
of play.
I mean,
chickens are coming home to roost with their low-rise jeans are coming home to roost.
Absolutely. That whole era is just very uncomfortable. Like there was like an article in Slate about it, like about how just over sexualized that time period was.
Yeah. It feels like in a way it was like the tackier 80s.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is saying something.
Saying a lot. That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Like the winner of this Survivor season I just watched had like frosted lip gloss.
Oh.
It's just a perfect like,
How about for no reason two mini butterfly clips right next to your middle part? Just not flattering on literally anyone. I'm finally catching up on this season of Drag Race, and there's a queen named Willow who I really love, and they did an episode where they all had to do a J-Lo look. And they asked J-Lo, do you guys remember that J-Lo or Willow did this look that was like, remember when J-Lo did that like cardigan that looked like it was like from Charlotte Russe? It was like a cardigan with like a spaghetti strap.
What color of cardigan?
Like lavender. It was like lavender texture.
No, I don't remember.
And Willow was just like, I chose this one because it was a little ugly. And I'm like, yes.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Very, very true. Still a little bit ugly.
That was our era. It was a little bit
that
ugly.
That was it. It was an ugly time.
Really was.
Okay, Gina, what is one item on your bucket list?
One item on my bucket list. Trying to not step on the toes of something that I've already like talked about. I was just like shitting on being overly horny, but like I would love to have this is maybe an overshare, but I'd love to have a threesome with a committed gay male couple. Just to be their third for a night and like enjoy their gay male pairing, like their true love, but also get, you know, double D'd.
Oh, that's sweet.
That is sweet. And what
have you ever tried to like date a couple?
I did date a couple. I dated a straight het couple. Well, I guess they weren't as straight as they thought they were because they were dating me. But everyone's a little bit gay when they have sex with me. But like, well, the thing was is that this couple was like, they weren't age appropriate for each other, but they were individually appropriate for me, which is really strange because I could, you know, the lady was too young for the guy, but she was within my range of having a relationship with, and I was within his range of having a relationship with, but together they didn't make sense. So I was the glue.
We're all doing a math equation in our head right now.
We're all trying to figure out where that is. Yeah.
This is a word problem right now.
it's one of those trains problems train is going away from one and the other one's going the other way. And like, what point do they?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I will say, I feel like you can definitely check off that bucket list item. I think that's attainable.
Yeah. I think that's definitely attainable.
I think so. Oh, absolutely. But yeah. It's just a matter.
Bucket list item should be. I think you should, everyone should be. Doing
oh yeah, no, the things yeah. that like I want, I'm gonna do, not like yes. I'm gonna climb Mount Everest, which I am not personally.
Oh, yeah, God. Which I am
no,
which
no,
I am
no.
not going to do.
We're all, no, everyone stop Especially trying to climb yeah. Everest.
No,
wait, it's bad. Like it's not good, right?
I don't know. People die all the time doing it. Every time I watch a documentary and people are climbing Mount Everest, I'm just like, why? This is so stupid. Yeah.
Also, there's just like too many people trying to do it. So it's not even.
Yeah.
You're just like with shitloads of other people.
Yeah. They're just walking up a line for like hours and hours.
Yeah. There's trash everywhere too. Mm-hmm. It's like
there's
you're
a whole
just walking
racial
past
element.
Dead
like the
bot.
Sherpas are the ones that are doing all the work. And it's a lot of European white people. It's thumbs down.
It's like trying to get like when like LA introduces a trendy new donut and everyone lines up for it. And you're like, why do I do this? That's what Everest is like. It's like a line for a new donut.
Everest is just a Funko Pop in 2020s. Like, that's all it is now. I'm over it. Over it. And, like, it was so impressive in the 20s, the 2020s. The 1920s it was.
There you go.
I like this. We are fucking canceling Mount Everest.
Honestly.
Everest.
If you die on Mount Everest like in the 2020s, what the fuck is the matter with you? We're on Mars. You know what I mean? Like,
Let's just say it's not the hill I want to die on. All right.
No.
Oh.
Hey. Here we
go. Okay, Gina.
Yes.
If you were a crayon color, what would you be?
If I were a crayon color, I think I would be cornflower blue.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. It's a good solid blue because it had a little bit of vibrancy, but it was also very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as a kid, I didn't understand the flower part.
Mm-hmm.
Like it said corn. I was like, why is it blue? I don't understand. It's like a big mystery to me. Like it didn't make
corn flower an actual thing.
I don't know, but like it's like that blue. But like as a kid, I didn't connect the fact that a cornflower is something different than corn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was a mystery to me. I was very intrigued by cornflower blue, or I think they just call it cornflower.
Mm-hmm.
Which was even strange.
Cornflower, or the plant it's based on is also known as the bachelor's button.
The bachelor's button.
Oh, that's fun and flirty.
That is.
La la.
So you weren't thinking about dick before this.
And now you've got the bachelor's button.
And let's just say I saw his bachelor's button.
It's very blue. And now he has penetrated my cornflower.
That is, I'm definitely, going to start using that for butthole.
Your cornflower. I hadn't thought of that until I just said it. There you go.
Little cornflower.
We're coming up with new slang.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more before we go to break. Let's make this one good. Let's see.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, boy. If you could ask your future self one question, what would it be?
If I could ask my future self one question, what would it be? I would ask her.
This feels like a Miss America question.
Yeah. Like I'm trying, you usually think about it in like the other way. If you could talk to your past self, what would you say?
How the fuck do I know what I'm going to say to my future self?
Let's give it a few more parameters. Let's say it's a question. Okay. You're going in the future. You're asking yourself something and you're coming back to the present.
Mm. Okay.
Right?
Because I think
it's advice that you can take with you moving forward.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And let's assume that we're not, doing any like past breaking things. Like I'm not going into the future.
Yeah, there's
to
no
get
butterfly
stock tips.
Effect shit. Or whatever.
Yeah. No stock. Yeah. You're not going to find out which NFT.
Right.
Oh,
none
you can't
of that
do stock
stuff.
Tips? No.
I don't think stock tips.
Okay.
Because
I feel that, like, that's like asking the genie for more wishes. Like, we gotta.
Yeah, exactly. Because that would be the answer then. Like, mm-hmm. if we're just asking our future self for like personal advice.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to break the universe.
I just. Yeah. Okay, but I want to say I think it's fine because my future self would have bullshit for stock tips. So I don't think
right. That might also be
that's
true.
Because
I am.
No, I mean, like, what? This is your fucking question?
Yeah.
Did we figure out the stock market? Oh, we didn't figure it out? I'll go back and work on that, I guess.
I am very bad with money now, and the age I am is like past the point where you can really change. So I imagine the future me is only worse.
Right. Yeah. I think asking, do we have a savings account yet? Yeah. Would be a good question. And
right.
Like, oh,
right.
Fuck.
Okay, so barring useless yes. stock.
Barring that, I would ask myself, is everything I've done up until this moment that I've met them, do you think everything that I've done in the past like 3 or 4 years has been worth it? Because mm-hmm. like I worry about this all the time, because being a comedian is kind of a thankless gig for like the yeah. longest time. Like you just yeah. you don't make much money, and you don't get a lot of respect as a woman in comedy. So it's like
yeah.
I would like to know if this actually pays off for something. And that's mm-hmm. a little neurotic and a little like maybe too serious for.
I think that's a very genuinely good question. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can identify.
Yeah, I'd like
that
to know
totally.
If this was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. The fruits mm-hmm. of my labor, did they
yeah.
pay off?
Yeah.
Do
yeah,
you guys
like,
have like a fairly defined idea of what worth it means?
Yeah. We're the same person, right? So yeah. if I say if it was worth it, then she would understand what I meant by that.
Mm-hmm. Right. right.
Because we're basically the same brain. So if I were to say, was it worth it all? Like, it would be like, was I happy? Did I make an impact? Yeah. Did I have to stop? Did I finally get to stop working a day job? That kind of thing. And I think mm-hmm. all that together makes it mm-hmm. worth it.
Mm-hmm.
She totally. Kicks a body under the bed and goes, yes.
It was yeah, absolutely. All worth it.
Yeah, I feel like I try. I you
do
know,
exactly that.
I think as like creatives, we always struggle with the journey versus the destination thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes,
like
I
try really hard to focus on the journey, but it's mm-hmm. very hard when I have a very specific destination in mind, you know?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Like I try to not focus on that and be like, if you don't get that, it's not, you didn't do the thing. But
right.
Yeah, for sure.
It depends on the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I always think like I took classes at the Groundlings. That was like the first comedy thing I did before I got into stand up. And like I don't mm-hmm. know if anyone else did Groundlings, but it's mm-hmm. like super fucking competitive. Like it's extremely yeah. cutthroat. Yeah. Like you're worried the whole time on if you're gonna get into the next class or like if you're gonna get past and all and who's getting stage time. Mm-hmm. And like I was so concentrated on that when I was there, and then I didn't ultimately end up in Sunday Company or anything, but it's like the mm-hmm. whole time I was like learning sketch comedy from people who had been like on SNL, and I was working with other really funny people, and I'm like, I feel like that's a good example of like, I wish that I had the insight to be like, just enjoy this experience of learning this stuff, and right. don't be so mm-hmm.
sure
fixated yeah. on these goalposts every single yeah. time.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean by worth it. Like I wouldn't ask her, did I do this? Did I do this specific thing? Yeah. Did I get
sense.
This done?
Yeah.
It's more like was. Did all this work make me a happier person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoo.
Yeah.
That is the question every day.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. Hey, everybody. We're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Gina.
And let's do some lady problems. Yay. If
you lady have one, problems.
Lady problems. You can send us a lady problem, or you can send us a cover of our theme song, many things. Just give us a phone call, 323-6-BUT-30, or the email is ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
All right, let's do it. Number one.
Hey, ladies. this is Vaughn, a long-time listener. You all know my name. first time actually calling in with a lady problem. So I currently have two boyfriends. Each of them have, well, one of them has another boyfriend. The other one has a girlfriend. And we recently told our parents, all of us, about our relationships. And none of our parents seem to understand it. We are happy. We all, like, get along, and we don't hook around together. We only hook up with our direct partners, but we hang out together. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, how can we explain to our parents that this makes us happy because they've only known the heteronormative lifestyle, and how being with each other in this way just is the most amazing way we've ever lived our lives with a partner. Because I've never been this happy before. None of us have ever been this happy before, but none of our parents seem to understand it. So to recap, before I hit that 2-minute ending, I have two partners, both are men. One of them has another boyfriend, the other one has a girlfriend. We've all met, we've had dinner parties, we all get along, we love our lives together, but our partners, parents and my parents, none of our parents just seem to understand how it works and how we're happy. And they're a little bit against it, but they all just keep saying, well, as long as you're happy, but we want them to understand it. Any help you could provide would be absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Well, shout out Vaughn.
Hi, Vaughn. You're great.
It's good to hear from you. It's really good to know that you're this happy too.
Yeah.
Good for you, Vaughn.
You can hear it in your voice.
You're such a sweetie.
It's really beautiful.
if I may venture an answer for Vaughn.
Yes, please.
He sounds like a lovely guy. So I would be curious to see, like, at what level do they not understand? Because you're dealing with a lot of different, you know, sexualities and things like that, as well as the, you know, the polyamory. Like, are they just not into that? Are they are they supportive of like gay monogamy, or is it, or at what level, you know, do they just hands off, whatever makes you happy?
As a
you know, non-monogamous, non-operative trans woman from the South, I, you know, a lot of people don't get my choices from where I'm from. And like they never will. And I this isn't pessimistic, Vaughn, because you sound like you're very happy, but there's gonna be a point where it's very likely that your family just will never really understand it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because you're happy, and they say that, and it's kind of a cheat. And they're like, whatever makes you happy, like they just don't want to argue with you. Mm-hmm. But also, it's also true. Mm-hmm. It makes you happy. You don't need your parents to understand it to remain happy. You might want them to, but they're human beings and they have an agency of their own. They're not going to operate on your timetable, and they may never understand that. My parents are both passed away. Before I transitioned, they would have never understood it. And I can say that with like 100% confidence. At least on my father's side. My mom might have understood it. She would pray for me because she's very Catholic, mm-hmm. but my dad would not have got it. And that's okay. You know, mm-hmm. that's how he thought. I can't change that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think they're starting from, I think, a not terrible place, even if it seems disingenuous by saying whatever makes you happy.
Exactly.
It's like, that's a pretty, like, I think that's a good gateway to whatever this understanding might ultimately look like. And it might be a matter of, like, maybe they're not going to get it right off the bat, but maybe if they're able to spend a little bit more time with you and your boyfriend and your boyfriend's boyfriend, or whatever the arrangement is, and the more that they are able to see your happiness in action, it will feel a lot less foreign to them. Because this might be their first time encountering a situation like this.
Maybe. Or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. If they are open to it, or I don't think, there's any amount of you explaining it that's going to change.
Yes,
I think, the only thing that would is by example or by being around and seeing you happy and seeing your situation. But I don't think any kind of like you talking to them is probably not going to like get through. Because like Gina said, they have their own kind of ideas of the world and how it works. And
yeah.
It doesn't quite fit in.
I'd be curious to know if they're if there's readers. I know there's a couple of like good poly books explaining this that have come out. Like there's one called Poly Secure, and there's another one called like The Ethical Slut that are kind of about like different, you know, modes of like relationships and stuff. And like, it, I mean,
I'm just like, imagining giving my mother the ethical slut.
Yeah. Yeah.
How that went.
Maybe start with Poly Secure. That goes over.
Hey, but like, mom,
but maybe being like, oh, a book written, like, I feel like a book adds an authority sometimes. Apparently, well, an expert has said this, you know, and interviewed doctors.
They'll believe other people more than they'll believe
more
you.
More than you. I mean, that is true.
Yeah. and it's an established fact for trans people that we get acceptance the more we are out around people who don't encounter us on a daily basis. Like once people get to know a trans person, they know that we're not out to like, you know, hypnotize their children and like, you know, poison their wells or anything. Like they approve of us.
Yeah.
And they're okay with it. So there probably is a little bit of exposure therapy there, but also, you know, at some point you have to live your own life.
Yeah. Definitely.
And like, I think, like your parents are saying that because they probably all, and that's probably always what they've told you. And that's why you're making these choices. So even though they may not fully understand, they may never fully understand it, but you are someone who knows that you need to follow your own happiness. And like, as an adult, that's all you can fucking do, whether that person's related to you or a stranger or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I still struggle with my queerness and my family and talking to my parents about it. And like, I feel like I've really held myself back sometimes from maybe living the life I'm supposed to live because I am scared to talk to them about it. So I want to tell you again, like, I'm really proud of you for living the life that you want, you know, because I think that too often we get held back by those expectations, you know? So you just, you're doing you basically, and that's all you can do. And you can't, you know, hopefully maybe one day they'll come around, but I think you need to, try to just let go of that expectation and, you know, you'll somehow even be happier, which sounds like you're already crushing it. So
yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Your parents ultimately just want to see you happy. And like, they're probably like being slightly negative now because they're scared because they don't want you to get hurt. And it's coming from a place of love, you know.
Right.
But the more happy they see you, the more they'll understand too. Even if they don't fully get it, they'll be like, okay, this seems to be working. I don't understand it, but it's working.
I mean, think about all the things our parents do that we don't understand. I go to my mom's house, I'm like, Mom, it's CNN is on 8 a.m. Why?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. So much stuff.
Two worlds not meant to.
My dad drinks 4 gallons of milk a week. I'll never understand it.
The milk. That generation and milk. And it was whole milk.
So gross.
So bad. So bad.
They would buy it by the gallon and be done with it in days. It's insane.
So just remember that your parents have milk brain, okay?
Yes.
So whatever you're saying has to go through 5 levels of dairy. Yes. Before
BST or whatever the fuck is in dairy milk. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But good luck. You're so sweet. We're so happy for you.
Yeah. And, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's do one more.
Hi, ladies. So my partner and I are getting married in the courthouse in August, and we need 2 witnesses per state regulations. I was the witness at my closest friend's wedding a few years ago in town. However, since then, we now work together. And naturally, you know, the more you're around someone, you see other sides of them. We had a fight last year and it wasn't a huge blowout, but one thing in particular she said to me just really cut me. And I couldn't believe she spoke to me that way. And I'll never forget it. And I have since pulled back from, you know, using her as the main source, I mean, outlet of comfort and friendship. I still love her to death, but I've known her for 5 years. However, this past year, I've gotten really close with another friend and we click really well. And I want her to be one of my witnesses. The other witness being my fiance's best friend. My question is, how do I dance around the fact that I don't really want my first friend as my witness? Because it gets closer because I haven't even told her we're doing this yet and it can't stay secret forever. My current plan is to wait until it gets closer and act like we decided to do it on a whim, hoping it'll be too difficult for her to get the time off of work with short notice. I feel horrible even saying this because I hate to lie, but I'm just like really nervous about it. And I know that she would be offended if she knew I didn't choose her first. I know it's my wedding, and it's easy to say, if she's a true friend, maybe she'll understand, but I know this is going to be sticky, and I don't know what to do. Any advice would be grand. You're the best. Love you. Thank you.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you even have to tell her that it's happening? I feel like I would just do it, and then, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's worried that she's, like, going to get mad.
I also feel like that's creating, like, unnecessary anxiety around what should be a day about, like, her and her husband.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue is what she said. Yeah, she's like.
Right. But, like, the fact that she has pulled away from her friend, I'm sure her friend, if not outright acknowledges that, detects it, then at least energetically does. Because her friend is there, too. Her friend's on the other side of that equation. Her friend is not as close to her as she used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that she should just, you know, ask the friend that she's closer to now and just, you know, pull the bandage off and tell her, you know, less close friend now and just deal with it because you're not that close of friends anymore.
Yeah.
She's really just, you know, afraid of the reaction, not afraid of, like, you know, jeopardizing this friendship that she's kind of lukewarm about. She just doesn't want conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying, it's her day.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's easy. That's easy for us to give that advice.
Of course,
like it's
of
always easy to give good advice.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
But that's how
I guess like, you know, it doesn't sound like you necessarily want to talk to her about what happened, which I don't blame you for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
If you do, this is obviously an opening and maybe would give you some closure, or at least make you move past it. But I get it. You probably don't want to do it. But I will say, whatever you do, you're going to survive it. Like, you're going to survive. If you decide to say to her, like, look, you know what? That shit sucked and it made me feel weird and I want to ask this other friend. You're going to survive it. You guys will figure out how to be around each other still. It'll be okay.
Amen.
And if you just don't tell her, and if you decide to do it, you'll get over that too. So it's like, either way, you will be okay. I just want you to know. Like, I know it sucks.
Yeah. And like, and I've had friends. I have a very good friend that we didn't talk for like 3 years because we just didn't work as friends for a while. And then about 6 months ago, we started talking again, and we're great friends again. So, like, these things change.
Yeah, that could happen, too.
People change. Like, you might find your way back to each other at some point and be good friends again.
Well, and it's not like you have, like, 8 bridesmaid slots available and she's not getting
cast.
Exactly. I mean, you're choosing one person, and I know it is easier for us from the outside to be like, she needs to understand, but she needs to fucking understand. Like, you guys are each only bringing one person to this wedding. It's a tiny ceremony.
Exactly.
You know? And I mean,
exactly.
It sounds like you guys are still kind of friendly. So maybe like you could also soften the blow by being like, and we definitely want to like celebrate. Like, I don't know. We'll in the future, we'll plan some kind of drinks thing or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, hey, this is where the party is going to be afterwards. You're invited to that and we'll see you there. Like, I don't know how much you need to justify your decision to this person.
Yeah.
You know, also, what if you make your friend that you are choosing really work for it? And they break the news. Make them handle it.
Oh,
like,
yes.
You want to be here? Well, go handle that.
Yeah. Make them fight. Make him fight for it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. The Hunger Games portion. Yes. Make them fight for that spot.
Yes.
Make them spar.
I mean, it's tough because you work together. So this is not like a friend who you can just kind of say it to. She has to see her all the time. So that's
really adds insult
to injury. I understand like what a weird position you're in.
I feel like do which of these options gives you less anxiety. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation with her where you're polite. But you're direct and you're like, this friend is going to be the witness and this is going to be my husband's witness and blah, blah, blah. We'll celebrate later. Mm-hmm. Or if it doesn't give you, it would give me anxiety, but if it won't give you that much anxiety to keep it low key and come up with this story about how you guys did it last minute, then do
that. I'm hoping she can't get out of work. That would freak me out because what if she can or something?
What if she can? As a lady of experience, I can say that. 9 times out of 10, when I engage in shenanigans like that, they do not work out.
Yeah.
People are not.
This is a Band-Aid situation where you just need to tell her it's happening.
And you don't want to lie wrapped up in the beginning of like your marriage too.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. She might be shitty about it. Like I said, she might be shitty. It might be spicy. Just weather the storm. You're going to and you do have to work together, so you are going to have to be friendly. Like, it's going to, you're going to get over the hump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's going to be fine. Just kind of, you might have to just go for it and then deal with the shittiness for a week or something.
Well, and like, also just be glad that you're having a small wedding and you're not dealing with 500 people's bullshit.
Yeah, amen. Very true.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I anticipate, and we've been getting a lot lately, but yeah, it's wedding season, hence wedding bullshit season. So lots of bullshit coming down the pipe for everybody. Yeah. Good luck. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Gina, thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is so fun.
Oh my God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Let everybody know where they can find you online, where they can catch your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on all of the major socials at Gina Bloom, same name on all of them. That's J-E-E-N-A-B-L-O-O-M. You can catch me in the Los Angeles area doing stand-up quite a bit here. And in New York, you can catch me for the first 2 weeks in NYC. I'll be doing previews of my one-woman show I'm bringing to Edinburgh Fringe in August.
Yes.
And doing some stand-up while I'm there as well. Just check my socials if you want to catch me at a show.
Oh, yeah.
And then in July, I'll be doing the same thing. I'll be running, you know, my hour a couple of times. I'll be appearing on some of the higher-profile ladies' shows, including Funnilingus in July. So come check that out. Always a fun show. I'll be on it. And, yeah, I'm easy to find.
Hell yes, yeah. If you're in one of the cities, go check out Gina Live. She's super funny. And thank you for hanging out with us. This is really fun.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. This is a Teresa who goes by Tess also. I've called in before about a year ago. And I was listening to episode 481 where Tess was talking about struggling with stage names. I have also been called testicle. Testify is one of my absolute favorite puns on our name, though. And I had to tell y'all about one that was kind of awkward. There was a guy who we were friends in college. We might have had times where we had crushes on each other. But when I moved out of the state after we graduated, I kind of had cut ties with this person and felt a little bit bad about it, but was just doing my own thing. And he emailed me, this was early 2000s, he emailed me and said, "I miss your testant." And sadly, it just sort of became a running joke amongst my friends because it made me cringe. So testant, testify is way better than testant. All right, ladies, love you. Bye.
Hi, guys. I'm a new listener. I've been re-listening to all the old episodes, and you had a lady problem come in the other day that was asking about what to do about a neighbor snoring and how to address it. And I have a new neighbor, and I just spoke up to his snoring, and no offense, but fuck your advice. Go over there, ring the doorbell, wake them up, and tell them to shut the fuck up. Because guess what? Nobody needs to deal with that fucking bullshit. Anyway, I love you guys. That's all. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy. And give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.